The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Tonight, hi everybody, Kate Delaney, Ferguson, Missouri, ground zero, unfortunately, for violence after police officer Darren Wilson was not indicted for the murder of 18-year-old Michael Brown, who he shot and killed back in August. Now it's all about the evidence and what the grand jury heard, and that's out there, so lots of people dissecting it. While that's going on, there have been reporters that have had rocks thrown at their heads, and that's not an exaggeration, it's on video. Massive fires in Ferguson, police cars overturned. One older guy was carjacked and then sadly run over, but I guess he's okay, thank goodness. So a lot of craziness has happened because of the St. Louis County prosecuting attorney Robert McCullough announcing very late on Monday night, 9:30, in fact, Eastern time, that Darren Wilson wouldn't be indicted for the death of Michael Brown. He held a press conference. It was a very strange press conference, too, because he was kind of out all over the place. In fact, blaming the media, lashing out at them and blaming the Internet and the 24-hour news cycle that kept showing all the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri. There have been about 100 protests in Ferguson since the death of Michael Brown, and it's worth mentioning this because of some of the exaggerated tales. Lots of them have been very, very peaceful. Unfortunately, the bookends, when it first happened, and now when there is no indictment, things have really exploded. You had a car lot that was set on fire, a pizza place, and so many businesses lost in the middle of this. It's a shame. It's sad for the people who live in Ferguson. Captain Ron Johnson, who's from that area and has been there on the ground, said that he believes this community needs to come together and that you can't blame outsiders, that some of this was not about outsiders. It was about people in Ferguson. 29 people have been arrested at this point so far in the wee hours of Tuesday morning. The governor, Jay Nixon, has ordered more National Guard on the ground. Yet about 150 or so, that's what the estimate is anyway, of gunshots that were fired, which caused the firemen to leave certain areas where fires were raging because of how close the shots were. They had to get out of the way. As I mentioned, you had debris and rocks and whatnot tossed at a couple of reporters. You had the president earlier in the evening warning that it was not the way to respond, but as he was speaking, some of that response had already started to take place. The president called for calm and said that the grand jury's decision, anger over a grand jury's decision not to indict Officer Darren Wilson is an understandable reaction, but the protesters should be peaceful and called on the law enforcement officers in Ferguson to be exercising care and restraint in managing peaceful protests that could happen. One of the things the press said was, we're a nation built on the rule of law, so we need to accept that this is the decision that the grand jury made, that it's theirs to make. And there are Americans who agree with it, and there are Americans who are deeply disappointed, even angry. It's an understandable reaction. He reiterated that. But, and I agree with this, he said, I join Michael's parents in asking anyone who protests this decision to do so peacefully. And that's exactly what the Brown family said. They said it to their credit again and again throughout this whole ordeal. to please not respond that way. It is trampling on their son's memory. And nationwide, there were some other protests, but almost all of those were pretty good, pretty peaceful. A couple of roads closed down, a big intersection in Oakland because of the live, they call it a die-in, where there's a chalk outline and you lay down. But other than that, not much. Ferguson is really where so much has happened. And I think it's the fires and the looting and the businesses and the people milling about and the tear gas that's had to be at times shot into the crowds. That's the unfortunate thing of Ferguson at this point. And what will it look like in the morning actually will be pretty interesting, because then you'll really get an idea. You see the fires and you know when the violence erupted that it wasn't going to be good, and certainly it wasn't that. And that's why more National Guard is being called in to make sure that there's protection all the way around. In fact, law enforcement, you know, more or extra eyes on the police department is one of the things that happened, surrounding the building and making circles around it constantly and all of that kind of stuff, because you had a couple of police cars that were actually smashed by the protesters. Now, the police officer who was not indicted, Wilson, still could find himself in a civil situation if the Brown family decided to go after him or perhaps somebody else. And the Justice Department is still investigating what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, and they haven't decided at this point, although that would seem very unlikely since he wasn't indicted for the crime, for any crime against Michael Brown. And as the press said, it is very much like sports teams in this country. It seems like there's nobody that floats in the middle or has a conversation about, well, let me hear this from all sides. It's either you're enraged and furious, or you think that the grand jury did the right thing by not indicting him. One of the big problems was so many of the witnesses, their testimony had to be recanted because forensically it didn't match up what they were saying. You know, there were all kinds of reports that, oh, he was shot in the back, and there was a kill shot where the officer leaned right over in front of him and shot him. And, of course, all of that was disputed with the forensic evidence and the eyewitnesses who recanted what they were saying. The other part of this is, for Wilson anyway, he is toying with the idea of resigning, realizing how tough would it be to be in Ferguson, even with being cleared, and be a police officer in that area and not be concerned that he would be, you know, not be concerned of being a target. And since he's newly married, I would assume that would be a place that he probably won't stay as a result of this, no matter what, even though the decision actually went in his favor, fell in his favor. All right, stay with us, because we've just begun to go down this road. Much more to come next on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
We've been talking about this executive action that the president is getting ready to take now for a long time. And here in America Tonight, all of you know this, that we've really focused a lot on immigration and the problems of illegal immigration and all of that, mentioning my time in California and El Paso and travels with the Border Patrol. And we've talked to the Minutemen, Jim Gilchrist, and so many others. So we're looking at this from all different angles. Very excited to have in our virtual green room right now Roger Fleming. He's the author of the new novel, Majority Rules. And he's a guy who knows his way around Capitol Hill. And he has certainly seen a few interesting fights over illegal immigration and so-called amnesty bills and whatnot back when he was on the Hill. And now we have this happening. Hey, Roger, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go back and talk about what you saw in the mid-80s during the Reagan administration, the illegal immigrant amnesty bill, and what happened there. Take us back to what happened.
Yeah, it's important to look back because back then, you know, what Reagan was about was both enforcing the border and providing amnesty to some people who were here illegally. But that's not how it worked out in Congress. The House passed a bill that didn't do that. The Senate had a provision in it called triggered amnesty, and the Senate was controlled by Republicans then. Triggered amnesty would not allow anybody to be given amnesty until the border was determined to be secure by a presidential commission. That provision was attempted in the House. It failed in committee, and the Democratic leadership in the House then in 1986 would not even allow that amendment to be voted on the floor of the House because they were worried it might pass. When they went to conference, the House outmaneuvered the Senate Republicans, and the bill that went to Reagan only included amnesty, no border enforcement whatsoever. So as much as Reagan wanted to do both, he wasn't able to. It was a mistake, and we've been paying for it ever since.
Wow, boy, no kidding. And, you know, you move from 86 to where we are now, and you see what the plans call for from Obama, at least the stuff that's leaked out and when we know what happened before, and this sort of reprieve, this deferred action. And what does that I mean, in your, from your point of view, what does that do to all of us in the United States when we have this deferred action and now we have these other points that are probably going to be implemented as well if that executive action goes through and there's no blowback?
Well, you look, all of it ignores current federal law. You know, there is law in the books today. Title 8 of the law says you cannot come into the country illegally. You cannot come in and misrepresent yourself and come in illegally or fool the federal government and come in. That's the law. Everything that Obama is talking about doing is contrary to that statute. He wants that you can call it defer. I mean, people say executive orders. Presidents have the authority under executive orders to prioritize what they will and will not prosecute. And President Obama has that authority. But to sort of, a, you know, a wholesale repudiation of a federal statute like that and at this grand a scale, I think, in the minds of so many people, gets to the point of sort of failing to execute the law, faithfully execute the law, which is what the Constitution requires.
Yeah, and in looking at this and in looking at the draft proposal and how this has been announced, do you think this also puts a real, jab out to the Republicans before we even roll into the next Congress to just jump on this action right away?
Absolutely. The Republicans don't take power in Congress and the Senate until January. And the new increase in the new members of the Republican Party in the House won't be sworn in until January. So we're still in the old Congress. And that's why, actually, my personal feeling is he won't issue this executive order for a few more weeks. And I think he'll let this lame duck session that's going to take place over the next few weeks come and go before he does it. I think it behooves his political ends to wait. And that's what I think he'll do. But, you know, just back to your point before, look, if the president doesn't want to enforce the law on immigration, which is on the book, he could send a bill to Congress to repeal the current statute that makes it illegal to come into the country illegally. And then you could have a vote on that in Congress. Then we'd have an opportunity to see where our members of Congress really stand on illegal immigration, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And that's what I thought. My thought was that this will be thrown out there. They'll talk about it. But ultimately, he'll wait till the next Congress comes in, because then he can also say, well, listen, I tried. I mean, if I were a Democratic strategist, I would certainly advise that, to be honest. And you know how these games are played. I mean, you served as a legislative director to U.S. congressmen, as a majority and minority counsel on the Judiciary Committee, which, you know, you look at the Judiciary Committee in the House, does it get any bigger than that? And even from a different point of view, when you were a political appointee in George H.W. Bush's administration, so you know what it's like. There's that, what is it, the Potomac two-step that you sometimes kind of have to deal with, right?
It happens a lot. But let me make one thing clear. You know, the Democrats and the president keep saying if they would just pass that Senate bill that passed last year, S-744, that immigration bill, comprehensive immigration bill, then we could all go home and we'd be happy. But the fact of the matter is that bill does not require the border to be secured. That's one of the reasons Republicans in the House won't take it up and pass it. They'd have to, you know, change it substantially and put in a provision that requires the border to be secured. They've authorized some more money for border security there, and they've created a very intricate pathway to citizenship, but it does not require the border to be secured. So that's not going to, passing that bill in the House is not going to solve our problem. Our problem is the border is still wide open and thousands of people are coming across it every week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No question. And
you said you'd been down to that border.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
America got a snapshot of what's been happening down there when all those children came across this summer. But if there were cameras were there right now, you'd see people coming across the border.
Yeah. What do you think the answer is?
You know, I think I like the idea of the Republicans in the House passing a bill and sending it to the Senate early next year that provides, some pathway to citizenship in some respect. But just like they tried to do in the 80s, have it a triggered mechanism where you have to create a presidential commission, and we've made up of border security governors, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, members of Congress, law enforcement, let all of them be in this commission and require that they certify that the border is secure, which you could do in a couple of years. It's not undoable. And then once that is secured, once it's confirmed, it's secured, then you can go forward with whatever it is that the pathway to citizenship is for a certain number of people who are here. That way, at least you stop the bleeding at the border. You know, when you're in a boat and it's taking on water and you just keep bailing, you can bail until your arms fall off. You've got to plug the hole first. So if this country wants to get control of its immigration issues, they need to secure the border first.
Yeah. Well, I so agree with that. I mean, it's not just a saying. It's not just something that is being fluffed out there, because it's really, really the truth. And all you have to do is spend enough time there, go out with ICE guys or hang out with the Border Patrol, and you really get a true snapshot of what's happening there. So
it's
tell
out
us
of control.
It's out of control. It's absolutely, it's out of control. People don't even realize, and you just see little snippets. It's not enough to understand that. If you really got the full picture, you would understand. And if you talk to Border Patrol people, where it's, you know, agents where it's not going to come back and bite them, they'll tell you the truth of what's going on. And the same thing with a lot of the ICE people will tell you what's happening from a completely different perspective, you know, without a doubt.
Yeah, so, and I thought back in the 80s as well. Let me just read you one footnote from my book. I think this will be a shocker to you. This is from the floor of the House in 1986 when we were debating this bill. This is a Democrat congressman. It was a more bipartisan issue back then. It says, last year, the INS located 1,348,000 aliens in this country who were deported under the Immigration and Nationality Act. Millions more escaped detection. Only one out of every two or three illegal aliens who come in across the border are apprehended. No one knows for certain how many illegal aliens are already in this country, but estimates range from 3.5 to 10 million, with more coming every day. In San Diego alone, we're averaging one arrest every 35 seconds. The INS estimates it will apprehend 1.8 million illegal aliens this year alone, almost 5,000 per day. That was in 1986.
Wow.
And it's been happening ever since then. They didn't secure the border then. In fact, the language in the law in 1986 in the statute is just what they call a sense of the Congress resolution. It's not even statutory language. It doesn't carry any statutory weight whatsoever. So the Democrats knew what they were doing.
Boy, no kidding. Tell us about the novel, Nick Taft and going to serve the congressman in Washington. Sounds a little like your life. You're supposed to write about what you know, right?
Yeah, well, they say first-time writers do that, and a lot of my friends say it's a little bit about me. With the beginning of the book, I just use my own format of how I came to Congress about me. The rest of it's totally fiction, but it's a book about young people who come to young Americans who come to Washington to work for their respective congressmen, and they find out some hard lessons about how Congress works and why it doesn't work, and they uncover a smuggling cartel which is being led by a corrupt congressional committee chairman, coincidentally from Texas. But the legislation they're working on, as they go through the narrative in the book, is the Immigration Reform Act of 1986. So I tell the story and the games of the political games of what happened in 1986 through a novel, but I put dozens of end notes in the back of the book that relates to actually what did happen. In fact, sometimes, you know, you'll read a book and you'll think, you know, that just didn't happen. So if you read this book and you think, did that really happen? You can look in the back and see, well, it really did. I have quotes right from committee statements, committee reports, floor statements, and the legislation itself.
I love it. Pick up Roger Fleming's book, Majority Rules. Roger, thanks for coming on. Love to have you back on again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN. The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey everyone, my Ghost 80% AR-15 project was a total success. Thank you, Guns80.com. Thank you. I bought my Ghost AR-15 at Guns80.com. It's everything I expected and more. Just got a note from my buddy Mark, and now they're having a huge Black Friday and a big Cyber Monday sale. Guess Christmas is coming early this year. I'm definitely ordering one for my brother on Black Friday because the price drops to $400. Yes, I did just say that. $400. Unbelievable. At Guns80.com, the big sale is on. Begins Friday, November 22nd, and ends December 1st. So hurry now. Sale prices for Ghost ARs again, $400. Black Friday will be a good day. Get your Ghost AR-15 at Guns80.com. Sale is on right now at Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com. Guns and the number 880.com. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everyone from our good friends at Guns80.com. The big sale is on. I'll see you there.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
All right, we have the big announcement from Ferguson, Missouri. Crazy, it took so long, even after the grand jury had come to a decision not to indict Officer Darren Wilson. Still, we didn't hear about it until after 8 o'clock. Horace Cooper is co-chair of Project 21. He's a fantastic lawyer. He's been on the show many, many times. Horace, as always, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me on tonight.
So your reaction, first of all, to what happened with this grand jury?
Well, I think the process was drawn out far longer than was necessary. But I have listened attentively to the argument that the prosecutor presented when he announced the no-bill decision, and much of what he said was the kind of information that the St. Louis Dispatch and other local media had been indicating was going to happen, and that is that the grand jury heard the forensic evidence and experts, and then they got a chance to meet with multiple eyewitnesses, many of whom were either unaware that the information that they were going to give was going to then be challenged with actual forensic evidence. If you say, I looked out my window and I was able to see X, there were mock-ups, apparently, of the apartment complex. And then they would say, and which one of these windows is yours? Oh, none of these windows are yours. So where were you when you looked out? A number of the witnesses actually recanted the very statements that they had made to the media. And the forensic evidence appears to have been overwhelming in eliminating the concept that what had happened was a police officer went postal and shot an innocent person. The specific details of what exactly happened, we may never know. But what we do see is very little evidence to suggest that the kind of criminal event that we heard within an hour or two after Michael Brown's death, we find there is little to support that. In fact, there's nothing to support that.
Yeah, and then the lead up to this, of course, has been, wow, the world is exploding in Ferguson. We've declared a state of emergency because of things that have happened in the past. And is this riling? Was there something about riling people up and then getting everybody charged to have the unthinkable happen and boarding up all of the stores? Or no, really, the governor had no choice because of previously the way the crowds reacted in Ferguson, which, by the way, they weren't all the people from Ferguson. There were so many people that came into Ferguson.
Right. There's twofold here. There is no doubt that in Ferguson and in the St. Louis area, and a lot of people don't know this, but in the neighboring state of Illinois is East St. Louis, which is less than a 30-minute drive, depends on the time of day, is as little as a 15-minute drive, is a crime capital of the United States, and on a per capita basis has far more deaths occurring, not because of police involvement, in fact, probably because of the lack of police involvement. Many of the people in that community were engaging in criminal activity, and the Ferguson Police Department were there to try to minimize it, and others came from outside of that community to take advantage of the opportunity. Within the first few hours, the lion's share of the people were Missouri residents. That's not to say they were Ferguson residents, but they were people from the area. As the days developed, people were able to come from farther and farther away. Tonight, I am hoping that those people who live in the community will have some time to reflect, think about exactly what was presented, and comprehend this. The narrative that the entire country was told turns out, when the grand jury got a chance to analyze it, that narrative failed to reflect the reality of what has happened. And how did that narrative get encouraged? That happened because there are mainstream media networks and newspapers and other kinds of media broadcasters that wanted this to be true. It was almost too good not to be true, and they encouraged people to believe this. And that's why now you see people with their windows boarded, and you see police on watch, and all kinds of protection, even nationwide. DHS has issued an alert because the American people were given what we used to call, back in Texas where I was born, a bill of goods. I put Benjamin Crump, I put Eric Holder, I put Al Sharpton right there on the list of the people that helped to validate a story, but the mainstream media also did quite a bit to help boost it as well.
Yeah, and you know, there's some people are going, oh, Horace, how can you say that? Al Sharpton, the godfather of civil rights and protection and whatnot, and you and I have talked about this before, there are some good things that Sharpton did early in his career, but I don't understand what now has happened. And I think you're right. What you're saying is the evidence clearly shows that. So, you know, these guys aren't dumb guys. Why wouldn't they pay attention to the narrative? And maybe I'm answering my own question.
Well, I think what some of these individuals thought would occur is sort of what I would call political bullying. That A, they could intimidate the governor into making a special prosecutor come forward and have that special prosecutor understand that his mission is to bring a case and have a high-profile trial, and that we would all have to watch and see where it would go. And I think that really was the objective of this process. It didn't matter, really, whether there was a conviction. Now, you say, well, you can't really be that cynical, Horace Cooper, and I am that cynical. I believe that Mr. Crump thought this would be a great opportunity for him to bring sort of a civil justice lottery to the Brown family, and Al Sharpton thought that this would enhance his stature and make it clear that he was a relevant player. And Eric Holder believed that it was useful to stir up black animus heading into a midterm election. Now, that is not the way justice is supposed to work. And in fact, if you really think about it, all you have to do is change a few names and the race of a few people, and now we're talking about Arkansas entering the university or public schools, Bull Connor, and all manner of abusing of the criminal justice system and the political system on racial lines.
And what do you think this does for Darren Wilson, the police officer, who is apparently, because of the outcry, they're thinking, well, he's got to resign, and there's been discussion of that he may just can't stay where he is.
Well, here's the tragedy. If we had a just system, would say, let's do a real investigation. Let's not coach any witnesses. Just consider this. People came forward and testified that they were eyewitnesses to Michael Brown running and being shot in the back, and at least one person came on the networks and said that Officer Wilson stood over the fallen body of Michael Brown and administered a kill shot. That kind of mindset didn't just appear. That was something that was encouraged. That was something that was put forward and thought to be exploited. So now Darren Wilson is sitting here in a situation. We don't have a neutral investigation. We don't have a community that says what we want is to find out what happened on that day. He saw the lynch mob, and even though there's been a no bill, there are still people saying that they want to administer street justice. You can't actually have a police officer who has to have other police officers guard him when he carries out his work duties so that some criminal doesn't shoot him, attack him, or whatever. And that is really a tragedy, a real bona fide tragedy. The Al Sharptons of the world, just like they didn't have to apologize in New York City with the Tawana Brawley affair, didn't have to apologize with the Trayvon Martin affair, isn't going to issue an apology here. Eric Holder sent his Justice Department and encouraged them to give funds to people who would agree to march in Florida for justice for Trayvon Martin. He's not going to apologize. He announced here, before even any evidence from an autopsy could have been released and reviewed by him, that there needed to be a federal investigation, both of Officer Wilson and of the Ferguson Police Department. That was totally and completely serving one purpose, a political purpose, and not the interest of justice. That means, unfortunately, because of this kind of behavior, you're not going to be able to see Officer Wilson unless the community literally rises up and the citizenry say, I'll stand next to you when you come in and enter our community. I'll ride in your patrol car. I'll come and stand in your yard. If the community were to be able to do something like that, then sure, he could continue. Unfortunately, that's not very likely, and that would have to be something that would go on for more than a year.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Well said. Horace Cooper, as always, thanks so much for your point of view and joining us on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just the ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126 serving three square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale priced at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guys fall chili special. Always free shipping to lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the fall chili special and three square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze dried and dehydrated foods available for long term storage, period.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
The average family has 3 days of food in their pantry. Don't get caught with your pantry down this winter. Get 3 weeks of food free with your purchase of a three-month supply of Go Foods now through November 30th. Call 800-648-9753 or order online at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 800-648-9753 or www.storefoodnow.com.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
This is pretty consistent with the tenure of previous Secretaries of Defense that we've seen. For the about the President's first 2 years, Secretary Gates served, and then the next 2 years, Secretary Panetta, and you know, generally speaking, over the course of the last 2 years, Secretary Hagel. It certainly is consistent with this pattern that we would have a new Secretary of Defense for the two remaining years of the presidency.
All right, that's Josh Ernst from the White House talking about Chuck Hagel out as the Secretary of Defense. So what happens now? A chief cabinet position, if you think about it. And, you know, in the history of Obama, he really hasn't handed out the pink slips or put too much pressure on too many cabinet members to step aside. This one clearly was going to happen because Hagel infuriated him by, I believe, by some of the things that he said that were going on with ISIS and response to ISIS and whatnot. So now we are looking, so to speak, for somebody to fill those shoes. The undersecretary is a possibility. Don't know if that'll happen. Then you'd be talking about the first female defense secretary. So while that's all going on out of Washington, D.C., we have violence erupting in Ferguson, and it's been going on for a long time. They're still protesting in there, in that city, in that town, after the grand jury's decision not to indict police officer Darren Wilson in the August shooting death of 18-year-old Michael Brown. And a lot of you are reacting, certainly through email. We'll go to the mailbag coming up in our next hour. You can jump on the phones if you want to throw in your 2 cents at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Let's go to Grim and see what he has to say about all of this. Hey, Grim, thanks for hanging. What do you think?
You played the wrong song in the opening. You should have played Keep It Alive. Because I think Obama's the fourth BG.
You are brutal.
What speech?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, his speech, as far as what he said about Missouri, he was right on by that. But he was a lie of prejudice. You know, I mean, that's all he talked about at the end was, you know, we still got to work on it. We still got to do something. It's all right for you to go out and burn things and catch things on fire this time, but we've got to work on it in the future.
Yeah, you know, he did call for peace, for to not have that happen. But the bottom line here is the people that did what they did with the cars and the restaurants and the looting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so on them, Grim. It's so ridiculous.
I don't get it.
You're not honoring anybody.
They're cutting their own foot off. They're doing it.
Yeah.
They're cutting their own foot off because what they destroyed today, they got paid for tomorrow. And we pay, too, that don't get out there and do it as well. I mean, you talk to any insurance agent, he'll tell you that. That's why premiums are so high on everything.
Absolutely.
At the same token, you know, does anybody know what a grand jury is? I mean, I heard the guy that you talked to, and the one thing he should have brought up was exactly statistics about grand juries. They actually hate attorneys and judges to a certain degree that they fight for the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, sure, because the grand jury is a mini jury, not supposed to be like a jury, but just looking clearly at the evidence, if there's anything to move forward and charge. It goes to the grand jury, and they decide, does this move forward to a trial?
And they already know the attorneys and the judges in the area because they've been sitting on this for 20 years or something. And they know that, you know, hey, you know, you can accidentally screw up in life and we're willing to give you a break. This is a grand jury. They look more out for citizenship and citizens than they do actually the legal system.
Right.
But they have to take into account the legal system, and they do, and they're pretty good at it. That's the main thing, you know. And I mean, pretty much everything. I forgot his name that you had on just a minute ago.
Horace Cooper. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Horace Cooper. He was right on topic about everything, and he kind of shot down a few things I was going to bring up.
Well, didn't you hear what he said? I thought what was pretty powerful, and this is true, and no matter where you fall on this, if you just look at the facts, I mean, he wasn't the whole exaggerated thing about he was shot in the back, and he was doing a kill shot over top of him, and what some of the witnesses were saying, and you heard that over and over again. And then, of course, immediately in court, they were proven to not be true, so they had to recant what they said, and that would make a huge difference.
Because of scientific facts, you're right.
Right.
Like he's pointed out, you know, you couldn't be from that window and see him. Yeah, on and on and on. Yeah, you're exactly right. But at the same token, he did miss, you know, let me tell you about what grand jury. They're the people like the, you know, the parents. you know, I mean, because they don't really look at it like attorneys do. You know, they don't have an ulterior motive.
Right.
you know, like putting another notch and climbing the ladder and all this.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, they're more or less there for the public. So, you know, the president should have respected the grand jury. It should have been kept in state to start with. We wouldn't have all these problems. But there's
right.
ulterior motives. And here
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, it's too bad. Here's what breaks my heart about this, Grim. You know, you're always going to have lousy people. You're always going to have idiots. You're always going to have somebody that's going to start trouble. You're always going to have that. We're not so naive to not think that. But the fact that you have it on the grand scale that you did, and you know, if I'm a business owner and you do that to me, come on, that's disrespect all the way around. And if I'm a black business owner and you're doing that to me, what are you doing? I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm white or black, but either way, I'm your peeps. I'm in your community. And are these people from the community or are they idiots that are coming out from other places and they're creating this firestorm in Ferguson? But either way, it's the people in that area that pay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you're in Texas now instead of New Jersey.
Yes.
And you know that you won't see the riots go down into Dallas or Houston or anything like that. Because and it's a multi-grade mixture there.
Absolutely,
I could spend a whole night explaining this why it won't happen. It's because they all respect each other. They all got enough knowledge that, hey, there is the fear that a Houston police officer will shoot you.
you don't want to do it. Yeah,
and you know, the public will back him too.
You know what? You know, this is an interesting thing. My husband and I were talking about this. That even if you thought you're in the wrong for whatever the scenario is, right? Didn't it used to be that no matter what, even if you wanted to lunge at the cop, even if you wanted to, you know, come out of your mind with you were falsely being accused or whatever, you were even pulled over, you would never do it because you know the consequences. And why would you start that? Because there was other avenues. Now, in the case of, you know, Brown, and here he was unarmed, this is a tragedy that didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
It didn't have to happen. It didn't have to happen. But unfortunately, because of how the high tension, the craziness that ensued uh-huh. when he came back around, look what happened. And some would say, you know, Wilson, who was a young cop, discharged too many bullets. We've had Cop, our friend, who's been a longtime police officer, who came on and said that he knew he wouldn't be indicted. And he said, in Camden, New Jersey, which is just hell on earth because it's one of the most crime-ridden places, that you get, you know, automatically you're suspended. They look into you on the force because you can only discharge so many bullets, basically, because they're really up on what your equipment is, how good you are at using it, and all the practice. And I don't know what it is in Ferguson, but that was one mistake, I think. But then again, I'm not there while everything's going crazy around me, and I'm by myself, and I'm having somebody lunge at me, and what are you supposed to do? What is the correct police response? And I think that's one of the things, Grim, thanks, that people keep talking about, that, well, how many bullets did he have to pump into him? Bottom line is, guarantee Wilson would take it back. Terrible tragedy for his family, no doubt about it. And it just exacerbates the problem to have the continuous rioting kind of behavior that you're having in Ferguson and elsewhere, frankly, across the U.S. Hey, thanks for listening to this hour of ATN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.